This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. We're sitting through day two of OTAs where no public presence, no media presence there at NRG Stadium. So all that we've heard thus far is that we got times on preseason games, baby.
Yeah.
3 p.m. on the first one, noon on the second and the third one, which does mean that that week two preseason game versus the Panthers August 16th will be hot. That's what we got. That is what we've got information-wise. But going back to yesterday, we did hear from some of the players of this team talking after OTA's day one, and one of the big ones is Will Anderson Jr., a dude who, you know, whenever he speaks, you listen. He has that type of gravitas at his young age, but he backs it up. Like, he does deliver in a way. And so I did want to kind of get into this because we had the opportunity to talk to Will at Super Bowl. And I always think back to that, especially when it comes to like what he has to do to get, you know, make himself better in this upcoming season. And that's kind of some of the tenor and the tone of what he was talking about with the assembled media to start with. And this is cut one here. This was Will Anderson Jr. talking about how it feels going into his third NFL season with the Texans.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's coming out here. I was all like fired up and everything like that. And, you know, D'Amico pulled me to the side and was like, you know, now it's just fine tuning those little things of your game. Like, how precise can you be? How good can you be at taking the next step? And for me, it's just like, when I'm on a block, using my hands better, getting off blocks, my escape, when I'm rushing the passer, like, am I reaching with precision on the quarterback? Can I get some strip sacks, stuff like that? So, like, those are the things I want to work on this offseason, this time doing OTAs and really just getting precise at those things and taking my game to the next level.
Really good stuff. And I think that speaks to a little bit of what we mentioned yesterday. He can be so important to this defense, given, you know, how good the defense is going to be. Somebody mentioned on the text board, could it be an all-time defense? Look, that's really getting ahead of yourself. But how important he's going to be and how well
is
he
it?
Play. Well, yeah, you can't call it an all-time defense right now. You can certainly see, you know, speculate that it has elements, you know, of it, and I don't mind that at all. But if there is any conversation that comes down the pike, Will Anderson's going to be smack in the middle of it.
Certainly. And know? I was very intrigued by this, and obviously listening to the fellas of Payne and Pendergast this morning, including Brandon Scott. And they were talking about, especially from Seth's perspective as a pass rusher himself, as a defensive lineman, I guess is probably the better way of saying it, seeing his played on the interior, but just kind of the ways in which you don't need to have like all of the things in your arsenal. You don't need to have like many different weapons. I think he likened it, and I thought it was such a great comparison here, is likened it to like a pitcher where some pitchers have fastball slider, fastball, you know, fastball change, right? Mm-hmm. Or where a fastball curve, right? And just having two pitches, but if you can do them at an incredible level, which is one of those things I'm looking at with like Lance McCullers, mm-hmm. the way that slider is, if that sinker come through, now you are cooking with grease. And in a similar way, like, you don't have to have all these different ways of getting it done. You just got to be able to have one that you depend on, and maybe you have your change up, right? I even think about that in basketball. The idea is, do you have your go-to move, and then do you have your counter? And it feels like that's what Will Anderson Jr., who, mind you, sounded super excited about it, as he sounds about everything,
yeah.
But to the point where he was just asked about how good he feels, and he gave you the whole lineup of what D'Amico Ryans has basically mm-hmm. asked him to do, better with the hands, strip sacks, and then, like, you know, just that motor. And it feels like, just if you can get those down and do it at an extreme and an excellent level. Excellence is the word that I will use here. Like, if you can find a way to be excellent at this, you're going to be problematic, because he has the strength, he has the ability, he has the quickness. I think that's the thing that I find interesting. And the name that keep coming to mind when I heard this, and every time that I've heard this, is something like a Julius Peppers, right? Mm-hmm. Where you knew that spin move was coming, right? Julius Peppers is almost synonymous with the notion of that defensive lineman spin move.
Yeah.
You knew he was about to do that. He knew he was about to do that. Offensive line knew he was about to do that. What was going to happen? he was going to do, and he was going to beat you.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a lot of different players in all the world of sports who have that thing that I know I'm going to do it. You know I'm going to do it. What you going to do to stop? And I think that that's what it feels like Will Anderson Jr. is doing with the next level of this is, I'm just going to do the thing that I do so very well because I'm so good of an athlete and so good of a player that it's just going to be unstoppable. And I'm super excited about, one, knowing that he is the type of dude that is able to put the work in that I think he can get there. And two, what happens when he does that? Because it's in a similar way where you talk about Danielle Hunter and you talk about the Euro step or that he does out here or the spin move that he does. Talk less of then if you have Danielle Hunter so honed in on the details, we're on the other edge. You have that vice grip going to a whole different level with health. I don't know what you do offensively again with those two.
Well, and here's the other thing that I think is really important. And that is, let's say those little things add up to just a marginal improvement of his numbers. He had a lot of tackles for losses, and he had 19 quarterback hits.
My favorite is really talking about the pressure rate.
And pressure rate. Yeah. But let's just talk about the quarterback hits.
Right.
How many of those 19 become sacks? How many of those become sacks if he – and I want to say, I think I mentioned this yesterday, out of the 19, nine of them were in the last five games. So he showed improvement at the end of last year. He had 19 quarterback hits. If he does get a little better with his hands, he does get a little better with one move. And by the way, that's something we talked about him with, at the Super Bowl. You know, like, okay, last year you said you were going to improve this, and he did. This year, what are you looking to improve? And he mentioned a few things, but if he just gets that marginal half step better, all of a sudden, those 11 sacks can be 15 or 16.
He mentioned specifically, which means D'Amico mentioned specifically that idea of strip sacks, which then also changed the game in a whole different way because those are more turnovers. Those aren't just like, you know, drive-ending plays. Those are, you know, field-flipping plays. Mm-hmm. Those are like, you know, ball-dislodging plays that maybe even lead to immediate touchdowns or secondary touchdowns where the field position is so good that now the offense doesn't have far to go. Man, like, if he can nail this, you start, and this is why I go, why not? You start talking about all-time defense. The way that they took the ball away, if you add another way of taking the ball away relatively consistently, and relatively is the word that I use here because, I mean, the idea of strip sacks happening all the damn time is probably one that you can't lean upon. Mm-hmm. But if you get to such, so much of a detailed place where, and so much of a machine-like place, where, like you said, you're turning, how many were you talking about? You know, those quarterback hits?
19, nine of them in the last five games, which is really, really high. Among the best in the league.
Let's say, you
half
know,
of them.
With health.
Yeah.
And then with an uptick, if you're talking about, what, 10, 15 instances where you can get your hand in on the football, and even if there's a, you know, you're forcing a fumble and it's recovered by the offense, let's say there's another half of those. Five, you know, tough fumbles that are ultimately recovered, right? Outside of sacks, outside of anything else, like that just turns into something else entirely. And so, yeah, man, that's the place where you could take the incredible play that he has, the pressure that it has, what it does to a passing game, the ways in which you can blow up the run game, all those, and then you add the opportunity of maybe turning the ball over because he has this level of detail that he's been working on.
Yeah.
In year three, like, I can start seeing where you go all-time defense because you're placing that much, you're causing that much havoc, really.
No, if this, those two things happen, that, you know, Will Anderson plays like that and everybody plays to the level that they did last year, they're going to be in the conversation. I think where I hesitate, not that I don't think this is going to happen.
On potential all-time defense?
Yeah.
All right.
Is here. Turnovers are very finicky. You know, like very.
Historically.
Very finicky.
Absolutely.
Year in, year out. A team can, I don't even remember how many they forced last year, but they were really good. But a team can, let's say, force whatever, pick a number of turnovers 1 year. Same guys come back and they do half as many. So it's just a weird thing that happens. You either become a turnover team or you don't. And so that's where I would hesitate. But, yeah, I think ultimately the pieces are all there.
And that's the thing, though, that gets me interested here because I understand what you're saying, and I typically subscribe to that. The idea of turnovers being one of those stats that can kind of fluctuate that you don't necessarily depend on year over year. But the ways that this team generates turnovers feels like it is sustainable and repeatable, right? You talk about pressure. That pressure is going to continue to be there. I don't see the thing that then halts the pressure that this team gets.
Yeah.
The idea of then the interceptions, because obviously turnovers come in many forms. The interceptions. You have guys that play the ball incredibly well. Not just one, right? Because this isn't just, hey, yeah, one guy maybe has a bad year. Derek Stingley Jr., incredible player of the football when the ball is in the air. Mm-hmm. Kalen Bullock, that's kind of his whole calling card right now. And what's funny is he probably is the person on the defense that stands to have the most opportunity of growth because of the situations where you've had big plays that have happened somewhat on his watch. But when it comes down to like playing the ball in the air, he seems like he has that innately because he was doing that in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can stand to reason that that at the very least stays relatively steady because of the growth and development that happens.
No,
in
the
year two.
I would expect them to create turnovers, but it, you know, the numbers it's uncanny and it's unpredictable. But yeah, I would expect them to still be able to create a lot of turnovers.
Right, and so but then with the way that you get pressure, like knocking the ball out, those are the ones that feel like those are more easily repeatable if you can have that kind of pressure.
Yes.
And it feels like you have, especially you have multiple guys, whether it's your starting rush end or guys that you have in depth, because Derek Barnett is one of those guys we talked about as an underrated kind of player. He also brings value. In fact, you talked about those strip sacks. He had
touchdown.
He had touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
Off of those, right? Yeah. So I think that those are the guys that make it so when you have multiple of them, offenses don't know, can't have to pick their poison, and that still allows them to get home. Like, I feel very confident in a way that I probably shouldn't, and I'll acknowledge that those turnovers continue to be there. And if you get that and you don't allow the big busts that happened with the big plays that allowed Will Levis to get his rocks off in a game, that allowed guys that had no business to get after you in some of these games. Like, I think that's where you get to a place where you don't just be a really good defense in the league. You have an opportunity to be an elite defense on a year. And at that point, then we're starting to talk about, now let's look at the stats of how does this compare all time? But of course, it has to start with the execution and the details. But if there's anybody I trust to get that done, it's Will Anderson.
Yeah, and then just imagine what it could do for the offense. I mean, even just a marginal offense. We're talking about some good things happening here.
100%. Yeah. All right. So if we're talking about all-time defense, like in order for you to get there, who are you looking towards to make those like steps in order to get you to an all-time defense? Because this was a very good defense last year. Mm-hmm. I still don't even know. Would you have considered it an elite defense compared for the season?
Oh, I thought it was an elite defense. I mean, obviously, you know, you define it how you want, but just the way they carried this team, the way they still won the division, the way they won games defensively, turned the ball over, et cetera. Absolutely. In terms of taking the next leap on this defense, I mean, you mentioned it. I think Kalen Bullock. I think that could be hugely important. You already have the cornerbacks. You got a guy that's a center fielder going into his second year that can maybe that already prove. How many interceptions did you have last year? Five.
Five, memory serves.
Yeah.
And then you slide in CeeDee next to him, C.J. Gardner-Johnson next to him.
Yeah.
Where you're not talking about the, what is Eric Murray doing here, and how does that feel with Jimmy Ward? Like, I think at this point, the thing that I'm looking at is sustaining that kind of play, which I feel comfortable about. It's just keeping these guys upright, and you've added depth to try and kind of cover some of that. Like, every way that I go, within reason, conceivably, I feel really good about this.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Like, you talk about Kamari Lassiter on the possibility of improving is interesting. Bullock is the one that really big, you know, big time development-wise. Will Anderson Jr. taking another level. Not that he was not producing, but I think there's even more that you can squeeze out. And then, like, even
how about more Jalen Petrie?
More Jalen Petrie is an interesting one. More Jalen Petrie in a confident place and playing to the heights of his ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued to see what this looks like, but there's more opportunity to see what the early parts of this is if those hypotheses stand once we get through OTAs to training camp. But as of right now, OTA day two is what we've got. And we'll see what we continue to get with this team. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm excited for tomorrow because we will be hearing from Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator of this team. And hopefully, at the very least, we get nuggets. And hopefully, even more than that, maybe we get actual answers as to what this offense is.
What the hell is this offense?
Yeah.
Somebody need to start the press.
Just exactly verbatim, that's the question.
Hey, coach, what the hell is this offense?
What the hell is this offense go? That would be great. But in lieu of not getting that immediately, what I am also excited for is what we do every time right now, which is turning it over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, so Arby's came up with something new on the menu, and I'm interested to see if you guys would try this, plus some new cars coming to Houston.
All right.
There ain't no drivers in it.
Oh, wow.
Some craziness around the NBA, too, from last night.
All right. Will, are you in on this? Would you try this? That is the theme of Figgy's mixtape, and that's what we do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We do next.
Yep, it's the Mixtape and the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. So Arby's, they started testing something new on the menu. And I want to know if you guys would try this. Would you guys try steak nuggets?
Steak nuggets?
Steak nuggets.
Absolutely.
Really?
Put some of that horsey sauce on there. I like the way Arby's calls it horse. Instead of horseradish, they call it horsey sauce.
It's easier to say.
So Arby's started testing the new steak nuggets in select markets. Hit me up, 713-572-4610 if they have it here in Houston.
I don't remember the last time I saw Arby's moving around the city.
Man, I got to get to an Arby's. I haven't been in years.
It's one over by NRG. I used to go all the time because I used to stay there. I used to go over there to pick up like a curly fry or something like that.
It's never on top of mind, but every time I've been, like, again, it's probably been a decade or more. Yeah. It's always pretty good.
Yeah. No, I never had an issue with Arby's.
Give me those steak bites. I'm good with that.
All right.
And
so
horsey sauce.
All right. So I'm sure you, well, money ain't a thing to you. So you probably
big baller over here.
Yeah. Big baller. You don't care. You just pull out the black card. But if you're curious, you could get these nuggets in a bowl or on a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And the 5-piece is $5.
Still good with it.
$1 a nugget.
See, money ain't a thing for him, man.
I didn't say that.
If you want a 9-piece, it's
$9. Let me get 13 of them right now.
$13.
Still good? Yeah, y'all?
I don't know about this. Actually, I do know. I'm not getting steak nuggets from Arby's. And it really is, like, this isn't the people that are out here that are just like, Arby's gross. I am quite fond of Arby's. Yeah. Give me a beef and cheddar on most days of the week and I'm a happy camper. Mm-hmm. I don't really want steak being cooked in the Arby's kitchen. Like, I just don't feel like, first and foremost,
it's fast food, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's fast food. What kind of steak you think they're giving you? One.
That's like going to a diner, like a small little diner, getting a porterhouse steak or something.
Actually, I might be more inclined to get a good steak from a diner as opposed to Arby's.
It's the same steak probably for that you're getting, because, you know, they're not paying. I mean, they're getting the same type of meat. They're not getting, you know, choice or prime or something like that.
And on top of that, I'm going to be honest.
But you're going
to
pay.
I don't trust fast food to cook my steak.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. So just in case, so they did have some influencers that tried this.
Oh, okay.
And some of the comments, I'm gonna read you some of the comments.
Are they tough? Because that'd be the thing that make me want to punch air. If you giving me tough steak nuggets.
Yeah. Somebody said they look like mystery jerky.
Oh no.
See, don't give me jerky nuggets.
Yeah, that would be.
Because I can get jerky nuggets if I want.
Yeah, you can get jerky.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I will stop by at Bucky's if I need to. Like, I can do that.
Yeah. Somebody else said the nuggets are like the worst burnt ends you'll ever had in your life.
That's what
I couldn't even get past the smell.
The smell? What happened with the smell?
That's a red flag right there.
What did they put on there?
Now, why didn't you tell me all these reviews before you asked me if I'd get
You should have been able to suss out that these views would be
there. Hey, don't let the reviews get to you, man.
Oh, I always read reviews.
Oh, don't let
every time I go out.
Come on, man. You know, said that at the beginning you would try it.
Sounds like we need to have a steak, what is it, steak fingers?
Steak nuggets?
Steak nugget try test.
Well, now I don't want to.
Well, too bad.
You got to try it now, man. You got
to try it. This is going to happen. These are going to get delivered to us at some point during this week.
Yeah, another comment. They need to go back to the drawing board with this one.
Yeah, but why didn't you tell me this stuff? I'm very much an advocate of, and I'm very, you know, discerning when it comes to it, but I read all reviews every time I go out. Every time.
Yeah. Somebody said Sonic has steak fingers, and that's different, man. Like, that's like
chicken fried.
That's chicken fried steak, right?
Yeah.
And if you get a chicken fried steak thinking that it's some particular cut of steak,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you were sorely
set up to fail, man.
You got some misgivings there. That's different.
Yeah.
But this seems to be like the idea that they cut a steak into cubes or what have you and cook it. And that is not the way that I imagine Arby's is getting down. Like, I need y'all to slice this thing thin.
And they charging $1 for it?
That's a lot.
Little piece?
That is a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Just imagine spending $1 on a chicken nugget. Well, that's crazy.
I mean, aren't those called boneless wings?
Pretty much.
Isn't that not what those are called?
Yeah, they pretty much charge a dollar for those, too.
That's what we did. All we did was we made beef boneless wings. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Let me know. Hit me up if you tried it or if it's, I don't even know if it's in the Houston market.
I don't
market.
Think you're going to get a lot of people to try
it. Not after those reviews. I want to know if you guys would try this. Mm-hmm. So driverless cars are hitting the streets of Houston pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So it's a company by the name of Waymo.
Waymo.
And I want to say they up in Austin right now. I think they were.
I believe Waymo is operating in Austin. It's a Google company, subsidiary, what have you.
Yeah. So it would be about 10 Waymo vehicles that would be navigating in the Houston neighborhoods such as Midtown. Where is Norhill?
Where is Norhill? I'm not sure. I should know, but I don't.
Yeah, I never. Yeah.
Sound like it's on the north side.
Yeah, Norhill and Greenway, which is
right here.
Yeah, which is around here. So they're going to be on major highways like I-45, I-10, 59. And it will be nobody in this car.
Oh, yeah. Norhill apparently is just east of the Heights.
Okay.
Really? Yeah. I never heard that before. I never heard Norhill.
I'd heard it, but I couldn't place it.
I never heard anyone say, oh, yeah, I stay over in Norhill.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard that one. But would you guys get into a car like this with no driver, just automatic like this?
First of all, it's amazing you brought this up. Just yesterday, I was driving down Washington Avenue, and I saw three Waymo cars.
Nah, you lying.
Together. They must be testing them or something.
I think they are, yes.
But
they're trying to get a feel for the street, so that way.
They're trying to get a hold for these potholes?
And I'm like, okay, there's one of those cars. And I'd seen them before. I was like, oh, there's one. There was three in a row. So I bet you that's what they were doing.
Probably
but they
so.
Had drivers.
Yeah.
They were just, I guess they were testing it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're trying to get in the system or where that way.
I don't know if they're all. I don't know if they're all like this, but all three of them were white Waymo. They have a little, like almost like a
thing on the top,
the panoramic camera thing up top to be able to. Yeah.
And I was like, that's really cool.
Is it?
And I'm somewhat adventurous. I'd do it.
Would you?
Yeah, okay.
Somebody said Waymo equals Waymo accidents. All right. The question I have, I need to put the Waymo through the Houston driving test. Is it going to run some red lights?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about getting cut off?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Will it make it its own exit if there's traffic?
That's what I'm saying. Is it about to cut through that corner? That corner, whether it's a gas station or whatever it is, convenience store on the corner, instead of hitting right at the light, is it going to do that? Because if it don't drive like it's Houston, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the one thing I'm worried about, and we've been seeing this a lot with the Tesla trucks, a lot of these trucks be catching on fire and you can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of happened with Gilbert Arenas' son. I think he was driving in the Tesla.
Yeah, it was.
And he got in a bad accident and he literally, they couldn't open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, and I actually can't recall this now I think about it. I don't know if the Waymos are inherently electric vehicles. I actually don't recall if that's the case.
I'm just kind of worried in case something like that happened, and I want to be able to physically get out, or somebody get me out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be stuck in a situation where there's nothing we can do.
All electric Jaguar One Pace SUV, dude. That's the exact car
Jaguar.
I saw. That's exactly what I saw yesterday on Washington.
That's crazy. I will probably try it one time. I don't know if that would be my go-to though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little skeptical about just the regular Tesla cars that had the full thing where you can.
Oh, so you are not the intended audience.
Yeah, I would do it a little bit. I actually drove it one. Shout out to Marty from Nusset.
Mm-hmm.
He actually got a Tesla that could drive on his own, and I was in the passenger seat, and he just kind of let it go, and it did it. But I'm like, I don't know if I could just get comfortable.
Yeah, my nerves not good enough.
Yeah,
like, and this is
I can't even be in the passenger seat with some people. I let alone just letting somebody drive on a thing drive on his own. Yeah.
And this is comfortable. This is the fair part, right? From the 832, have them all over Austin, as you mentioned earlier, Figgy. Say everybody's using them because they are safer. And outside of, I think, like, especially now, once you've gotten through to a certain point, they do operate pretty well within. Mm-hmm. These traffic spaces. I think Houston is a fairly unique space to drive in, and I know that probably everybody, wherever they from, says that, but I think we all know that Houston actually means this to some degree. But more than that, I think that Brent in the Heights had a fantastic observation, which is if there ain't no driving that car, they better not ask for a tip. Yep.
That's a good point, yeah, man.
That's right.
They better not say, do you want to tip your driver?
Yeah.
I'm like, what driver?
Yeah. Tip these.
Yeah, nah, I'm getting out the car. I wonder, can you run out on a tip or do they pay? Do it like take
oh,
from
it's,
your
car? Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's all digital.
You just dip out on it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's all digital.
They'll charge your card.
Yeah, you got to have your card to hop in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what?
Oh, go ahead.
What happens if somebody hits you with the swoop and stop on the Waymo? You know what I mean? Because I think we all know that that insurance fraud be happening.
Yeah.
And so what happens when you end up in the accident and you in the Waymo, they ain't here looking at you like, I'm...
I didn't do it.
What else to do right now?
What I'm going to do, I'm going to just get my phone and call an Uber. Like, you know what? I'm not sitting around for this.
No.
I'm out.
They're going to have you locked in the car, Fig. It's going to be your worst nightmare, Fig.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yep, it's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Basketball was on last night. And
kind of.
Yeah, only one team showed up. It was only one team that showed up. The Thunder beat the Timberwolves 124-94. So a few things happened. However, the internet did show up. They showed up to talk a whole bunch of mess about the T-Wolves. And look, man, they wasn't pretty, man. So here's Anthony Edwards. I want to say this was 2022.
Yeah, so if you'll remember, 2022, he was, like, the Timberwolves were not in the playoffs at this point. But in the second round, the Mavs and the Suns were playing, and that was a series that went back and forth, went all the way to seven games. And I don't know if you remember, this was the year that Devin Booker and Luka Doncic were really getting into it, and then the Mavs put it on the Suns.
Yeah.
And if I'm having this right, I think this is the audio you're going to play. This is Anthony Edwards actually, like, you know, having a level of criticism for the Phoenix Suns in a blowout game.
I remember when we were playing Phoenix, they were talking so much telling us we better make the playoffs. We ain't gonna make the playoffs. We out of the playoffs, but y'all, this is a disgrace, bro. Like, y'all got 30 points in the third quarter.
People decided to put that up on the Summer Jam receipts screen last night. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, damn.
Update?
Yeah.
Update?
I'm surprised he put that out there like that in the time being like that.
Oh, Anthony Edwards has never been afraid to say what he wants.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things that people have found endearing, and maybe at this point is starting to get to a place where it's like, hey, man, we might need you to clean this up. Be you. Don't get me wrong, but let's be a little bit more discerning with this. Mm-hmm. And speaking of, he said that they had 30 points in the third quarter, which, again, didn't quite get there. The Timberwolves had all of 32 points at the half.
Yikes.
So, hey, buddy, it's funny how life comes back full circle for you, ain't it?
That's why I'm surprised he even put that out there, because you play in the NBA. You know blowouts can
happen. It's going to come back at you.
Yeah. So, you ain't, unless you're going to go your whole career without a blowout.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have put that out there like that. Maybe talk a little trash, but I wouldn't sit there and say, man, y'all only scored 30 points.
Yeah. What did he say? He said, this is a disgrace.
Yes. we need to play that same video for him after last night. All right, I'll get y'all out of here on this. So a Rockets legend by the name of Ketino Mobley.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was watching the game last night, too, and he had some things to say about the Timberwolves. And I want to know, did he take it too far with his comments on how the Timberwolves played?
I don't know if it's okay, see, and then I become a hater, right? But I look at the game totally different from average people. Even a lot of NBA players. That's why I was captain of every team I was on. It's a way you play the game. If the ball's on one side and there's a corner fill, and for you people who don't know what that means, it's a guy in the corner and it's just the guy that's dribbling the ball up at the top. You never leave strong side. That's called strong side. To end the first quarter, DiVincenzo leaves the strong side. Wallace gets a three. Simple stuff like that. I don't think they're smart. I really don't. As much as OKC has great help defense, I just don't think that Minnesota's smart. I truly, and listen, in this world, people get sensitive. I truly think that the short yellow bus kind of thing. I just don't know.
Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Like,
I did not see that coming at all, man.
He said that they were not smart about four times.
Yeah.
And he was like,
it sounded like he was trying not to call them dumb.
Well, he called them worse.
Yeah. That's the only thing.
And first of all, let's backtrack a little bit.
The first part?
Like, I was like this. Tell me a little more about basketball. Yeah. You know, that was the most basic stuff that he was saying.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure that this had like a visual element.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was breaking it down. And I think also
I was the captain of every team that
I was. You edited this for time as well, because I'm pretty sure I saw this. Like there was more stuff that he tried to break down that he thought was not very good. But I did laugh when he said, this is why I was the captain of all the teams.
I was on every team.
Not
I was
brag,
on.
Just letting y'all know. I know what I'm talking about
over here. I know ball.
Some of these former players don't, but me?
Yeah.
I'm built different.
Yeah, he said even more than players. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he went yellow bus. Short
oh,
yellow.
God.
He said, and some people, you know, maybe now I'm a hater now, but they not smart.
And the thing is, I thought he was going with the whole, man, they wasn't playing smart basketball.
Yeah.
I could understand that. When you say, man, you got to be smarter here. You kind of hear it all the time. But when he said yellow bus, I'm like, short yellow bus?
And he paused and gave it a second thought.
He thought about
said,
that one.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm still gonna do it.
What do you think the other things were that he was pondering on? He was like, nope, can't say that one.
Yeah, you should have just called them stupid.
Ooh, I got it. Short yellow bus. Yeah. I'm like, come on, Catino.
Just call me stupid at this point. Don't bring up the short yellow bus, man.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I still love Catino. That's still one of my favorite Rockets of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, without question, salute one of my favorite Rockets.
Salute to the Rockets legend, man.
Hey, where can I get that podcast? I kind of want to hear more of it. I'm gonna be completely honest. Like, go ahead. Start that one, Big Cat. I would have heard that one. All right, he said that's like when someone says free game the whole time is just common sense. 100%.
Yes.
And I love that person every time. Yeah. Hey, dog, it's free game, but you know, you want to make sure you want to make sure that you check, you know, and pay your taxes before the 15th. You know, otherwise they'll come get you. That's just free game. You know, I appreciate that, OG. I appreciate it. All right, you are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's Figgy's mixtape. You catch it at 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. If you see something out there, like if you're watching Uncle Catino Mobley, you see some more at the Figgy Fig on social media if you want to send it in and get it played. But coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the fellas of The Drive, Clinton Ron. But before we get there, I do want to talk about this. EA College Football, looks like we got the next one out. Are you ready? Are you excited for it? Here's some things that are popping up in that. We'll talk about it next.
Been a very fun Thursday, that is what today is, here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us all day long. Salute to a former Texan offensive lineman, David Questberry, who secured a one-year contract with the Los Angeles Rams. So you might see him, if he is indeed dressed out, week one. When the Texans face off against the Rams out there in L.A. at SoFi Stadium. In fact, we know what times the games will happen for the preseason. Week one is a 3 p.m. start on the road, and then that's the Vikings, right? And then week two and week three are noon kicks.
Panthers and Lions.
Yeah. Panthers at home on the 16th, and then the week after, Lions. The final the dress rehearsal, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Although these days
in Detroit,
it's more of the second game.
I still want to call it the dress rehearsal, yeah. Dude.
Second game, you call it the second game dress rehearsal.
Dress rehearsal for like the third and fourth stringers.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Who gonna make the team?
That's fair. All right, getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of The Drive here in a little bit. One of the things we were talking about earlier, actually before we get there, in the mixtape, we were talking about the Waymo coming to Houston, and a few people mentioned, a couple of different people on the text line here mentioned that with the Waymos, they're not approved for freeway use, and one of the people from the 281 said that they actually get stuck on the freeway and lock you in the car. And I'm like, so...
See, that's what I'm worried about, man.
I mean, they could easily not end up on the freeway here. The only question I have is, you mentioned the various places that they were going to be, and it feels like they were all kind of inside the loop,
with
no pun intended. What happens, though, if I just hop on Westheimer and I want to ride this thing out to Katy? We just going to have a Waymo car all the way out there?
Well, no, I guess they're going to...
They won't accept rides out there?
On, yeah.
Yeah, they probably keep it in the... inner loop.
Boo. Let me tell you about technology. Right?
Boo. Boo. I'm trying to go to Cass's on Westheimer.
That's right.
All right. So there you go. But earlier we were talking about in in around the NFL, Roger Goodell is kind of like throwing out feelers to the possibility of like really in the next CBA pushing for a true hard cap, where some of these, as he called dummy years, the practice that's become common of adding these void years on the back of the contracts that are not intended to be actual contractual obligations for the player, but are also just places to stash more salary. It seems like that is something that he is hinting towards getting rid of. And in talking about that and what that ramifications would be on negotiations, on the salary cap, somebody threw out an idea that I've heard before, but I hadn't obviously was not thinking about in this context, where they're like, hey, you got to get to a salary cap where the quarterback is separate, right? Do you like this as a concept? Because even if I did like it, which I'm not even sure how I feel about it, I'm still kind of probing that. I don't know how you actually execute that.
Now, here's the thing. A separate cap for quarterbacks isn't necessarily going to lower the money.
Oh, no, that's the thing. That's very much so that you can pay the money, and then the rest of the team kind of operates on what I imagine would be similar.
Why would they approve that? Because it probably means they're going to spend even more money. Because you have this big giant cap for quarterbacks. Oh, and then you got this other cap for the other 52 or 50 or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You know? This whole thing just smacks. As soon as I saw it, just smacks of, oh, this has got to be something they're going to use. They're going to try to use this in the next negotiation. Now maybe
I still don't think it's a strong bartering chip with the PA, because I think that as whatever they'd be trying to put forward as some level of gift to the PA is really more about the team owners anyways.
Sure. Well, I mean, the owners always win. I mean, and the NFLPA will never.
It does seem like it often goes that way now, doesn't it?
We'll never tell you that. They get their little victories, but a lot of times those little victories are meaningless in terms of the money the owners are going to make or save. And maybe that's where I'm getting. They can save a little bit money here. They'll throw them an extra bye week. Yeah, you can have that. Yeah, another week of NFL football, as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, that's the thing. That feels like the major kind of. And it really does work more from the NFL side if they have a few major things that they want to hit in a CBA where they can get to, as opposed to when players come to the CBA with wants. It's like, hey, what's the one thing? We can go in the store and get one thing.
Yeah.
What is the thing that you want? So maybe they can, because it does feel like the big thing in the next CBA that they want to go and try and get is that they want to try and get this 18 games schedule across. But it seems like the NFL probably would be able to also push for some level of salary cap change. I'm just interested, especially as a team that I mean they use void years, the Texans do. Like, does that change at all their philosophy? Because I know JJ Watt was talking about how he likes the way that the Texans are handling their salary cap and things of that nature and paying these players. Like, does that at all change the aggression that the Texans would have with, getting to guys and paying them early and what have you, if you're not able to kind of do some more of these, at least this particular type of salary manipulation should old Raj get his wish?
Boy, that's a really good point, because that's how they're manipulating it right now.
It's definitely a large part of it. I don't want to say it's all of it, because I would have to go talk to my guy Texans Cap about it. He has much more of an understanding. Them numbers start flying around my face,
but just
when I look
at
it too hard.
The back end, that doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, and so that's kind of one of their tools. I'll put it that way.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
No, that's a great question if that's something that they can now not be able to do. You know,
but I mean that's something that's clearly down the line. That's not an immediate kind of thing, right? That's not where we are right this moment, but it's just kind of an interesting thing to look at down the line for the NFL, especially as we know Roger Goodell, he'll let you know either explicitly or in these kind of ways where he is looking, where the league is trying to push. I mean, we've talked about the 18 game schedule for years, and he's made it almost without specifically saying we are going to do an 18 game schedule. He's done pretty much everything else outside of that. So
and flat out said it.
Did he?
Yeah, he said it at the owners' meeting or somewhere, one of the meetings they've had recently, that they're leaning that way.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool.
Whatever.
I was like, but I don't think he said it specific, like, this is
we're
going to
have it. No,
but
he can't, really.
Outside of absolutely doing that, you're right. He's done pretty much everything up to that space. So, that's going to be something interesting to keep an eye on in the future, not immediately necessary with this particular Texans team. But, yeah, there you go. Yeah, excited to see what this looks like. Excited for tomorrow, man. Tomorrow is going to be a fun show because we'll be getting more information, because we'll be hearing specifically from Nick Caley. Like, not the first time we've heard from him. Obviously, there's the introductory, but the first time, I think, within the confines of football activities. And so hopefully, I should ask this a question. How much do you think we actually get?
Well, we're going to get the question, I think, right out of the chute. that Reggie in the back, what's your question? What's your offense?
No, no, no. Reggie at the back would say, what the hell is this offense?
What the hell is this offense?
That need to be the first question. That's what the hell is this offense?
What the hell?
Yeah, that's gonna be what it is. What? Did he just shoot what the hell at you?
What is oh, okay. I forgot. See, I forgot. I'm the type of dude, though, as we've completely, you know, completely ruined what we were just talking about. We were on Trask and mm-hmm. on task, rather. And Ron walks
really
in here.
Task,
and that's fair. Ron walks in and knocks us off. Behind the, I'll pull back the curtain. Ron, a Kansas fan, University mm-hmm. of Kansas fan, it's very well documented, walked in and flashed the bird specifically to my shirt, which I honestly had forgot what was on my shirt. It is a Kansas State University shirt. It has the old school the old school Wildcat on it, Willie the Wildcat on it, and everything. So he brought that rivalry right in mm-hmm. directly to my chest in a way that I completely forgot was even there. I wasn't even thinking about you over there, to be completely honest.
Well, the good news
Ron,
is
the show Hughley.
He doesn't hate K-State as much.
Isn't Willie the Wildcat, isn't he the one that don't have no body, just got a head?
Well, I mean, he's got a body. It's just a human body with the mascot head.
His
yes.
Mascot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.